Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone, and you're watching the Super Fantasy Bros Podcast. 1 hour of commercial-free podcasting starts now. Enjoy the show.
All right, welcome back to the Super Fantasy Bros Podcast, brought to you at the Old City Sports Network. 17 weeks in the books, 1 week left that isn't too fantasy relevant. A lot of guys getting benched. Hopefully you do not use this in your league. But anyways, this is pretty much the end of the fantasy football season. Hope you were definitely able to win your fantasy championship out there, or at least made the playoffs. But it's time to wrap up this crazy fantasy season. So today we are doing our fourth annual fantasy awards show. One of our favorite episodes to do. So let's break it down real quick. Back in August, we tried to predict who would win each of these awards, including the best player at every position, fantasy MVP, rookie of the year, and many more. With these predictions, we are also trying to be a bit more bold. So we were trying to predict guys that were like not the most obvious, like Kelce to be the best tight end. So we'll see how our predictions looked, and we will also be handing out an honorable mention for each of us, along with the overall winner we agreed upon for each award. But before we get into the awards, we also need to do our last week of NFL picks to see who will be crowned the winner of picks as well next week. So the standings are as follows. Q, still in the lead, 168. I'm at 166. Matt's at 163. And T-God's 145. Let's roll through.
Sean, we talked about this last week. Is it possible that there's a week that maybe is out there that wasn't accounted for T-Gods? There's no way he's 20 behind.
There has to be. There's actually no way, dude.
There's a chance. He's kind of in line with some of the people in Picks League as well that just didn't pick that
there's
great.
There's not.
There's definitely a chance. I mean, it's T-Gods was the one doing his picks counting, so I've just been using our Picks League as the standings for us, which isn't 100% accurate because I know
QB flip-flopping.
I got like one missing.
All right, maybe like three. But I wouldn't say that they're some of them are wins too. So I've definitely flip-flopped one or two as well. So
me too. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for Picks League, it's different.
Yeah. More shit comes out before the game, so you got to adjust accordingly.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, so let's do the picks for this week. Starting with Saturday, Steelers at the Ravens. Who do we got?
Oh, the
Steelers.
I'm still taking the Ravens, bro. They're too good.
Give me the Steelers.
I think I'm going to take the Steelers. Fuck.
I'm not taking Tyler Huntley.
Nope, me either.
Oh, but who's the Steelers quarterback this week?
Rudolph. He's been slinging.
Yeah, you're going to take him? All right.
He's Rudolph the Reindeer out here.
He's good. Well, like good enough to.
He's serviceable.
Stop.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right.
He's definitely ass, but he's done enough to win.
Yeah. All right. Texans at the Colts.
Texans.
Yeah, give me the Texans.
Give me the Colts, baby. Colts are winning this division.
This might be one. I'm getting the warning now. This might be one where I have to flip flop come Saturday, but as of right now. I'm in top three, so I have to.
He was trying to play my picks. He's trying to strategize to stay ahead of me.
No, I will be honest. Last week with the Cowboys Lions, 30 before the game, I switched to Lions and I said, fuck no. Because you picked Lions, but I'm like, okay, there's a bunch of other people in front of you that I have to worry about too, so I'll just stick with Cowboys.
Well, you got lucky as shit because the Lions should have won that game, but that's a different story. They got robbed. Falcons at the Saints.
Saints.
Yeah, give me the Saints too.
Now they're for sure losing.
Yeah. Browns at the Bengals.
Browns.
Give me the Bengals.
Well, give me the Browns.
Is Joe Flacco playing?
No, it's Jeff Driscoll.
Oh, fuck. No. Give me the Bengals.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, give me the Bengals as well. Clean sweep for the Bengals there. Jaguars at the Titans.
Jags. Give me the Jags.
Yep.
Because isn't it not even Will Levis?
It could be Tannehill. Not that that's a major difference, but I'm going to take the Jaguars as well. Clean sweep. Yep. Jaguars are playing for their playoff lives, and the Titans, they suck.
Yep.
Vikings at the Lions.
Lions. They said they're starting Lions. Their starters. So,
yep.
Yeah, I'm taking the Lions too, but I don't love it, but I'm taking them.
Okay.
Because I don't really have trust too much to play
for it, though. Who the fuck was their quarterback last week? The Vikings? That dude stunk. And then they brought in Nick Mullins, didn't they?
Yeah. Casey Face Mullins is playing again, but I don't like that the spread was 3 earlier, so that scares me.
Big spread guy, eh?
Yeah. Jets at the Pats.
Give me the Jets.
Give me the Jets.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets.
You on Pats Island?
Look, this might be another one. This is one of the there's like 4 50-50 games that coming into Sunday or Saturday. I'm gonna have to rethink.
All right, Bucks at the Panthers.
Bucks.
Give me the Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks clean sweep. They're playing to win the division against the Panthers. I know it's on the road, but they have to win that game if they want to have a chance.
They're gonna win that game.
They better. Bears at the Packers.
Packers.
Go Pack, go, baby.
In Lambeau, and Jordan Love is the truth now.
I really want to get juicy, but I'm taking the Packers. I'm taking the Packers. Got to play it safe.
Take your boyfriend. Do it. Do it.
I will. I have all year. He's got seven. Seven all right, what? Cowboys. Kevin, seven wins. Cowboys at the Commanders.
Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys have to win that one unless they fold again like last year.
Please. But I hope they lose, though.
Pray that they lose, but. Taking the Cowboys. Clean sweep. Broncos at the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Give me the Broncos.
Oh.
Jared Stidham revenge game.
Stinky.
Both these teams stink, but I'm just taking the Broncos. They're both playing for nothing.
You just hate the Raiders.
I do. I despise them. Chiefs at the Chargers.
Give me the Chargers.
What? Yeah. Is Mahomes out?
Yes, Mahomes is out. Kelsey's probably going to be out, and Pacheco's probably going to be out.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers. Just it's like, shits and gigs.
I'm still taking the Chiefs.
It's like, who the fuck is good on the Chargers? Are they going to sit their starters?
Fuck. I'll take the Chiefs.
You Chargers.
Chargers.
Pick Chargers. One.
I said Chiefs.
All right, I'm taking the Chargers. Me and Matt are on Chargers. Q and T-God's on the Chiefs. Rams at the Niners.
Rams.
Give me the Rams.
Carson Wentz, baby.
Carson Wentz is not winning a game. I'm taking the Niners.
He's getting to play. He gets to play the backups. This is like his audition to start for the Rams next year.
I'm taking the Niners. I'm switching. I had the Rams in there, but I'm taking the Niners. I'm not picking Wentz to win.
I am.
They're both resting their starters, so like, fuck it. I'm taking the Niners.
Oh, man.
They both stink.
It's the backup for the... It doesn't even matter.
It's Sam Darnold versus Carson Wentz, baby, in 2024.
Hell yeah.
Eagles at the Giants.
Eagles. We need
Go Birds.
Game.
Birds got to win. Go Birds. There.
We're so bad.
Yeah, we're pretty bad. Seahawks at the Cardinals.
Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Are they? Yeah, the Seahawks. Clean sweep. They are not in the playoffs. They're still playing for their playoff life. And
they probably need the Rams to lose.
They got to win, so... They got to win to have a chance. They don't control their own destiny. So they actually might know ahead of time that they're out. So who knows what happens there. Bills at the Dolphins.
Bills.
The Dolphins.
This is a playoff game for the Bills. If they lose, they're out.
Give me the Dolphins. They want that home field advantage, baby.
Yep.
They ain't getting it.
They get in it.
Josh Allen lit Tyreek's house on fire.
Oh, my God.
Just hoping to take him out.
That's terrible. But yeah, all right, that is it for picks for this week. So let's get right into the award show. Got to have a ton of awards to get to. So let's start with the best at every position, starting with the most exciting one, best defense and special teams. T-Gods, start us off. Who was your prediction, and then who was your honorable mention?
My prediction was the Eagles to be number one.
Great defense.
27. Hell yeah, that's... Pretty much it sums up how my whole season went. But my honorable mention, a bit of recency bias, but the Raiders. Because the first week in the playoffs, they got you 25 points. Second week in the playoffs, they got you 21 points. And then in the chip, they kind of let you down. But they had 4 touchdowns in 2 games. They finished 7th overall. And you know what? It's good enough for me.
Yeah. Kind of shocked that they ended up playing pretty well, but
it snapped at the end of the season. I don't know what
Max
happened.
Crosby, Himothy.
Max Crosby is that whole defense.
Literally, it's nuts. RQ, what did you have as your prediction and honorable mention?
Prediction, I also thought the Eagles, they bamboozled both of us.
Yikes.
But honorable mention is the Cleveland Browns finishing as the third overall defense, only had three or four games under 8 points. So they were solid and very solid throughout the playoffs. 14, 14, and then 9 in the chip. Or actually, sorry, 14, 9, and then 14 in the chip. So they were solid all year.
Yeah, they were definitely a solid defense. Browns were nuts. Great honorable mention there. Matt, what do you got?
All right. My prediction was the Jags. A little bit of bias because me and Q had the best tackler in the world on the team.
But first half, they looked pretty good.
Yeah, they did. But that whole team just kind of fell apart. So my honorable mention is going to go to the Buffalo Bills. They finished overall defense 4 on the year. And they had a pretty 19 in the chip this year. Didn't go negative all year, so you love that. Mixed in a couple of bangers with like 15 plus. So got to go with the Bills there.
Yeah, Bills definitely a solid season as well. I'll wrap us up here. I had the Saints as my prediction just because of the quarterbacks they played. They did end up finishing 12th, so not too bad, but definitely underperformed in a handful of games. But my honorable mention has to go to the Jets. They pretty much had one of the toughest schedules in the league, playing the Bills and the Dolphins twice, and then the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Chiefs. Like, they had one of the toughest schedules by far. Still finished number 5, only went negative 1 time, and that was in week 2. And even in some of their tougher games against, like, the Dolphins and whatnot, they were able to put up 10-plus points. So give me the Jets as my honorable mention. But the overall winner has to be the Baltimore Ravens. They finished number 1 overall. The Ravens were unbelievable.
Are you sure?
Yes, positive. Looking at it right now.
Sleeper, it says the Cowboys.
They're always number 1.
It may have been the Cowboys.
It does say number 1 on Sleeper.
Did they change it recently? I literally looked at it earlier today. It said number 1.
Stat correction.
Well, I'm still giving it to the Ravens because the Cowboys went negative 4.
Yeah, they went negative so much.
Yeah, they just had a couple giant games. The Ravens never went negative once. They had at least 5 points in every single game. Most consistent defense by far. Still the overall best fantasy defense. Fuck the Cowboys. Yeah. No bias intended. They definitely were more solid consistently.
On Fantasy Bros, it has the Ravens number 1.
Yeah, good.
I don't know. All
right, maybe that's what I looked at.
Go Ravens.
Yeah, okay. Ravens overall number 1. Best kicker, T-Gods, start us off.
My prediction, Young Wei Koo. He's been so bad all year. He finished kicker 15. But my honorable mention, it's the only Eagle that I'm really fucking with right now, Jake Elliott. He had 10 games in double digits. He only had 3 games below 7 points. He's just been super solid all year. And I kind of wish I had him, but he's so good. He's the only thing that like is super reliable on the Eagles, man.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah, he's been so solid. All right, Matt, what did you have for kicker?
I was going to go Greg DeLeg for a comeback year. He ended up finishing 13, didn't miss a game, but that doesn't really matter if you're a kicker too much. My honorable mention, though, is going to be Harrison Butker. He was super solid all year. I think he had 3 games, less than 5 points. And especially in the championship, he had 24 points. So if you made it there with Butker, he definitely helped you win a championship that week.
Yes, Harrison Butker, rock solid. Q, best kicker prediction and honorable mention.
God, awful. I predicted as Graham Gano, and I'm trying to figure out why, but he did finish the top 10 kicker last year with the Giants. This year, he did go on IR after like 6 or 7 games, so he stunk. And I don't know if IR would have helped him because the Giants stink, but my honorable mention is going to be Matt Gay. He had a lot of down games, but ended up finishing as a top 10 kicker, pretty consistent with many 10 plus point games. So, sorry, I meant Matt Gay.
So,
even though me and Matt dropped him,
it's all right. We had Moody.
Oh, right.
We saw Matt Gay on a bye. That's how good he was.
Geniuses. My prediction was Brandon McManus. did finish number 12. Was looking pretty solid about 10
screwed
weeks.
Screwed you through. Over.
Had about five. He was probably kicker number five about 10 weeks through the season, and then kind of fell off a cliff, missed a couple of 50-yarders to almost lose me my playoff game until Kenneth Walker saved the day. Thank you very much, Ken. But instead of him, I will give my honorable mention to Dustin Hopkins. He did miss a game, but he did finish kicker number six. Was one of the most consistent kickers in the league for the Cleveland Browns. And if he didn't miss that game, probably would have been close to number two. So gotta love Dustin Hopkins. But Q, can you give us our overall winner at kicker?
The overall winner, the kicker who wins this award, is Brandon Aubrey. Finished number one for the Cowboys.
Boo.
Yeah, he went
nearly single-handedly almost took Gator out of his playoffs.
Dude. He was perfect in his field goals, 35 for 35. So
he's a menace.
He wishes nuts. He was Jake Elliott.
He helped me in my Yahoo league. Too bad I didn't get any money for second place.
Yeah. Thomas in the chat, great season of analysis. Greatly appreciate that. Glad we could help in any way possible. All right, but let's get into some of the better awards. Best tight end. Let's switch it up. Q, start us off. Who was your prediction and honorable mention?
My prediction was Darren Waller. This is one of the guys I was hyping up going into the season. Missed five games, finished the tight end 24. Maybe if he had a full season with Tyrod, he'd be okay. Definitely not Danny DeVito or Tommy DeVito. But my honorable mention is Trey McBride. He wasn't too reliable towards the end of the season in the playoffs, but he was the only receiving option basically for the Cardinals. And I think a full season with Kyler next year, he will finish as a top five tight end.
Yeah, full season with Kyler. I like that.
I mean,
better than anyone else that was had a pulse, honestly, on that team. All right, Matt, what did you have as your prediction?
My prediction was David Njoku. Finished awesome. Tight end six on the season. His second half of the season was outrageous. And nice. I'm going to stick with him for my honorable mention because fuck Evan Engram. Hated him coming into this year. But David Njoku, after the week five bye, only had two games in single digits. And after week 13, he was just going bananas. He had 27, 26, 16, 17.
He's here.
So if he helped you make it to the playoffs, he most likely helped you win a championship. Love you, David Njoku. Wish you could have did it earlier in the season.
Even after the burn face, still cooking all the way through.
I saw that something. It's
crazy.
It was Travis Kelce's first tight end one season came when he was 27. David Njoku is 27. So he has Joe Flacco, his prime is here.
All right.
This is Joe Flacco's prime too.
Could be. All right, T-Gods, back to you.
So my prediction was Mark Andrews, and he finished tight end 11, but he missed six games. But for my honorable mention, I'm going to stick with him because there's not many tight ends to talk about. And when he played from week two to halfway through week 11, he was super solid. He was a tight end three at the time. He had six touchdowns in those nine games, those nine full games that he played. He was definitely the most consistent of all the tight ends. He only had less than 10 in two games. He had a real shot of finishing tight end one if he played all year. But yeah, Mark Andrews, I'm still riding with him.
Yeah, love to see it. My prediction was Cole Kmet. Ended up finishing tight end seven, so not too bad, but pretty much on par with exactly what he did last year. So not really.
Tyson Badgen for a full season.
No.
Bears.
No, he did actually could have used Tyson Badgen. I think he did have a couple big games. But in the end of the day, tight end seven for the season. I am a big Bears guy, Bears advocate. But yeah, Cole Kmet, obviously a very solid season. But my honorable mention has to be TJ Hockenson. How could it not be? He was tight end one before missing the last game of the season. And unfortunately got passed by Kelce and Laporta to finish tight end three. I think he lost to Kelce by like 0.4 points and Laporta by 6 points. So all I needed was 6 points to be tight end one if he was able to go. And he did miss the second half of that game as well. So he missed about a game and a half. Either way, TJ Hockenson, great season. Tight end one in my heart. But Matt, give us the overall winner here at best tight end.
The Rook and not Dalton Kincaid. Sam Laporta. Who would have thought? All the hype behind Kincaid. Laporta came in on a Lions offense with Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Amon, like just solidified his role, managing to have like over 800 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. It was insane. So kudos to you, Sam Laporta.
Yes, yeah. Yes, sir. Congrats, Sam Laporta, tight end 1-2, easy. All right, moving on to best wide receiver. Let's start with you again, T-Gods. What do we got?
My prediction was Devontae Smith. He finished wide receiver 16. He wasn't too bad. Probably could have made a case for him. I probably couldn't. But I would try. But my honorable mention is Amon-Ra. He finished wide receiver 3. He had 12-plus points in every game besides one. 10 of those games, he had 19-plus points, and he only missed one game.
Guy's consistent.
Yeah, I was going to say he's probably the most consistent receiver that there's been this year. I don't know. He's good. He's good.
That's what Jared Goff.
Chill. Yeah. Jared Goff's not bad.
Thanks to Amon and he's Laporta. Kind of
mid. He's all right.
Come on.
All right, he's good. He's good, but he's not great.
Okay.
I'll give him
he's
good.
All right. I'd rather have Joe Flacco.
Amon was him. Not Joe Flacco taking over the takes now.
Joe Flacco or...
He's your new Kirk.
He is.
He is.
He took Kirk's place this year since Kirk got hurt.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to you, Matt. What did you got?
Let me hop back in there. I predicted Chris Olave. For some reason, I picked one of Derek Carr's wide receivers. But he ended up finishing wide receiver 20. Wasn't too bad. Also missed a game. But my honorable mention has to go to Hughes boy, Puka Nacua. Finished wide receiver 5 on the season. Nobody even really knew who this guy was coming into this fantasy year. So definitely made a name for himself. And even when Cooper Kupp returned back into the lineup, we kind of thought his volume would die down. But he just continued to eat.
Wide receiver 8 when Cooper Kupp was back during that span.
That's nice.
Yeah. Puka was rock solid. My prediction was Garrett Wilson, wide receiver 23 on the season. Pretty much had a mirror image of his rookie season, obviously with the quarterback issues. No surprise there. Was hoping Aaron Rodgers could take him to that next level. Obviously did not occur. So my honorable mention will go to DJ Moore, all the way up to wide receiver 8 on the season. And could have been even better when he had Badgett as his quarterback, stinky Tyson Badgett. He averaged 9.86 points per game, but when he did have Fields in every other game, he did average 20.8 points per game, which was 4th best in the league, only behind Tyreek, CeeDee Lamb, and Keenan Allen. So DJ Moore, definitely my honorable mention, could have been top 5 this season.
Saved by the 50-point game.
Also had plenty of 20-point games. Check it out, bud.
Saved by the 50-point game.
Check it out for your prediction and overall winner.
This guy, the only thing I've gotten, I've hit the nail on the head with, because I was saying this during the NFC East predictions and then the wide receiver episode. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 1. I drafted him. Too bad I wasted his immaculate season. But he is the winner for the best wide receiver, finishing wide receiver 1. And in the playoffs, in the chip, you had to have won if you had him in the chip. And you had to have lost if you played against him in the chip.
Yep. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, definitely the overall winner here for fantasy wide receiver. Obviously, Tyreek Hill could have been a close second, but CeeDee Lamb ended up pushing right past him at the end of the season there. So
once he started bitching about his targets, they gave it to him.
Yeah, and then he went to Banana Land. It's
Banana Lamb.
CeeDee yep. Banana Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb, great season all around.
Yep.
All right, moving on to best running back. Let's switch it up. Matt, start us off. Who was your prediction and honorable mention?
My prediction was Tony Pollard. He was a huge letdown this year, but still managed to finish RB15. I think injuries to other players might have helped that because he didn't seem like he was RB15. But my honorable mention has to go to Kyren. This guy missed, 6 games and finished RB5 on the season with like an insane amount of touchdowns. They shipped Cam Akers out of town and He just came onto the scene. So Kyren Williams, good job, guy.
Oh yeah.
Kyren was insane. Mm-hmm. Q, what did you have here?
So my prediction was Jahmyr Gibbs, who finished RB8. A little too inconsistent to be the winner or my honorable mention, but I'm going to go with Breece Hall, who coming in season may have been a little bugs because the injury. They brought in Dalvin Cook, who is now a fossil. Actually, he's not even on the team anymore. And finished RB4 with no quarterback, no offensive line. Games where he's probably had like 12 carries for 6 yards. The receiving work helped. But he is another guy that if you had him in at least in the second round and then made it to the chip, he helps you get to the end.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My prediction, really don't want to remind anybody here, but it was Miles Sanders.
Worst take ever.
Probably my worst take of the year by far. Did finish RB51. Had a little bit of hope in the first couple of games. Had a couple of decent games. And then, then he became Miles Sanders again. So let's not talk about that. Moving on to my honorable mention here, Joe Mixon, RB7. Just going to keep shouting out my guys on these honorable mentions because they all had good seasons. Joe Mixon, again, gets the job done as another top 10 season, third in a row. Continues to be so solid and slept on once draft season comes around. Keep sleeping. Joe Mixon, solid again. But T-Gods, to you, who was your prediction, honorable mention, and then hit us with the overall winner of best running back.
All right. Dude, Joe Mixon needs to get traded to the Bears, dude.
So does Kyler.
I might switch to a Bears fandom. Nah, Fields is, I like Fields too. Don't worry.
Those have Fields and Kyler. They'll run like double quarterback.
Double quarterback.
That'd be crazy. So my prediction might be one of my worst predictions too. Najee Harris.
Not even near as bad as mine.
I mean, okay, yeah, but it was still pretty bad. Najee finished RB27. He's the sole reason I didn't make the chip. But he gave me 1 point in the first week of the playoffs. Yeah, real nice. I hate him. But my honorable mention is Rashad White. Finished RB6 on the season. He played every single game. He had 915 rush yards and had 60 receptions, 531 receiving yards, and 9 total touchdowns. And from week 7 on, he had 15 plus in all but two games. He's just a menace. He's super good.
Rashad.
But the winner, as I'm sure everybody would know, CMC. That's RB1 by 120 fantasy points over the RB2. He's too good.
Cheat code.
Dude, he's so annoying. Let someone else have a turn of being good.
Never had less than 13 in a game. And that was
spelled Bo Melton wrong.
Yeah. CMC, insane. Obviously, best running back. So let's move on to best quarterback. Let's go with you.
What do you
start us off?
I forgot what you put as your answer. So my quarterback prediction, obviously, is Justin Herbert. Missed 3.5 games, but was quarterback 7 on a points per game basis. It'll be nice to see him with Jim Harbaugh next year. But my honorable mention, unfortunately, is Brock Purdy. I can't deny how consistent he's been, system quarterback, but it doesn't matter because Sean knows how consistent he's been. He's another one. Actually, he may not have taken you to the chip because of what he did week 16 with his 4 picks. So
I traded him away in like week 14, so it helped me out there. But yeah.
Outside
if you did start him, that hurt you solid. In the playoffs.
Yeah. Outside of that game, he was extremely solid for a quarterback who does not run.
I would have been in the chip. Brock Purdy. Definitely agree there. Matt, to you.
All right. My prediction was Trevor Lawrence. I don't know why I was so high on the Jags this year. I
guess Calvin Ridley
really got in my head. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he ended up finishing QB14, missed a game. No excuses there. Trev was up and down all year, couldn't really find his groove. But this guy, my honorable mention, Joe Flacco, came in late in the season, didn't miss a beat from when he was elite. He is still elite. This one hits home for me because in my Yahoo League, I lost CJ Stroud and Justin Herbert the same week. Picked up Flacco. Took me to the chip. Couldn't win it because my opponent had Amari Cooper. And that was the week Coop had like 48 points or 50-something.
Went nuts.
It's okay. We had that same situation in the paper league, and he won us the chip. You're right. So at least he won. But how did you have the same quarterbacks in that league?
I don't know. The luck of the draw. But yeah, Joe Flacco, he gets my honorable mention. He deserves it.
That's so funny.
Oh, yeah. Joe Flacco, baby. Rock solid season. All right, T-Gods, what did you got?
My prediction, Aaron Rodgers. He played four plays this season. So that's a big bummer. But
he had a great
my honorable mention is Mr. Lamar Jackson. He finished QB3. He had 3,678 passing yards. That's 500 more than he had during his MVP season. He had 24 passing touchdowns, and he had 821 rushing yards with 5 rushing touchdowns.
Another MVP season.
Oh, yeah. And he's also leading his team to probably the chip this year. They're probably going to win the Super Bowl.
Play the Eagles.
Yeah.
I hope so. Unless the Eagles do.
Yeah, and he did all that with, bro, his receivers are like, he did Odell. That with Zay Flowers and washed ass Odell. Like, it's just crazy. And only Mark Andrews for like 10 games, 9.5 games.
Yeah, absolutely insane. Great season for Lamar Jackson. I am up. Justin Fields was my prediction. Did finish QB17, unfortunately. Missed four and a half games. Give him some space there. He was QB8 on a points per game basis, but still nowhere near QB1. So my honorable mention will go to Jordan Love instead. Kind of came out of nowhere. A lot of people were not ready for Jordan Love to be the guy, and somehow managed to finish QB5. He did have a period toward the middle of the season where he kind of disappeared, but was still consistent enough to a point where he was getting you by. And then overall, just finished pretty solid all around. QB5 on the season. Great season for Jordan Love. But the overall winner, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Josh Allen. Every year, he seems to end up with the most fantasy points. What?
He's 2 or 1 every year.
Yeah, literally.
He's good.
He's been 1-3 of the last 4 years now. Mahomes beat him out last year, but Josh Allen continues to go insane. Even when he's throwing interceptions or fumbling or whatever, if he's having issues, it doesn't matter. The fantasy points are still being racked up. So Josh Allen, QB1, again, best quarterback in fantasy.
Yep.
All right. Before we get into the rest of our awards, let's just do today's sponsor real quick, which is Fanatics, the number one provider for NFL merchandise. Holiday season is over, which means the NFL season is almost over. That means the playoffs are right around the corner. So if you're looking to get on the bandwagon of your team for the playoffs, Fanatics is the place to get yourself some merchandise, whether it's a jersey, hoodie, t-shirt, or hat. Fanatics has got you covered. So go to the link in our bio. It's on all platforms and take advantage of their sale going on right now using code 34SHIP to get free shipping on any order over $34. Again, that code is 34SHIP. And please go through the link on our page. Helps us out a ton. We appreciate any support. Now back to the awards. So these ones are a little bit more unique, starting with best value pick. So these were guys that are being drafted outside the top 15 quarterbacks / tight ends. To start season or top 30 running backs, wide receivers. And we are predicting them to kind of finish as a top 12 guy. So we'll go through our predictions, give some honorable mentions for guys that were great value picks, and then give the overall winner here. So, T-Gots, start us off. What do we got?
Oh, man. My best value pick, I predicted it was going to be Tyler Lockett. He finished wide receiver 34 and had his worst season since 2018.
Sheesh.
Yeah, it was real bad. He kind of ruined my season. But my honorable mention, Q just talked about him. I don't got to go too deep, but Brock Purdy. I drafted him the last round in my draft, and I did drop him before the season even started. But, I mean, I regret that, obviously. But it's just where you got him. I got him in the last round. Like, a lot of people probably just picked him up in their leagues, and look at him now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ton of value there. Q, who was your prediction and your honorable mention?
Oh, my God. My prediction was Antonio Gibson, who there was like a 3-week span where I thought he was back. I forget when that was. It was not too long ago.
Probably when Robinson was out.
Yeah. Finished RB 38, missed the game, but that didn't really help his case. But my honorable mention is Trey McBride, as I just mentioned, for the tight end award. Extremely consistent for a Cardinals offense that was putrid. So, and again, we'll finish top five tight end next year.
Yes, sir. Trey McBride, great season. My prediction was Hollywood Brown. Obviously not the best first like 7-8 weeks. He was a top 20 wide receiver, looked pretty consistent, looked all right. Then fell off a cliff, ended up dealing with injuries towards the end of the season, finished wide receiver 49. Pretty brutal season all around. But my honorable mention has to be Michael Pittman. He was being drafted as like wide receiver 33, wide receiver 35. People were scared off by Anthony Richardson being a more mobile quarterback, but ended up not mattering. Even when Richardson was playing, Pittman got his. And when Minshew took over, that still continued. Wide receiver 13 on the season, did just miss a game as well. So pretty much a wide receiver one you had yourself at a flex round value. So honorable mention has to be Pittman there. Moving on to you, Matt, prediction, honorable mention, and give us the overall best value pick in drafts.
No problemo. My prediction was Khalil Herbert, finished RB 43. I feel like he was non-existent most of the year due to him missing 5 games and then Roshan Johnson and Dante Foreman just being mixed in there. But did average 13.3 fantasy points when given 50% or more of the snaps. So he loved that. Just wish it wasn't a crowded backfield. But my honorable mention, I didn't read the top of this because Brandon Ayuk was being drafted at wide receiver 24, but could have easily went later in a lot of drafts. Ended up finishing wide receiver 12. Just wanted to shout him out because I feel like he gets overlooked by Debo Samuel a lot, but he was rock solid all year. So he gets my honorable mention. And the overall winner. Again, I get to talk about the rook, Sam Laporta. Love this guy. Was drafted tight end 16. Ended up finishing the number one overall tight end. There were Kelsey, Kittle, Mark Andrews, all of them. So Sam Laporta, if you ended up drafting him, maybe like last 3 rounds of your draft, you definitely got to steal because he will not be going there next year.
Mm-mm. Hell no.
Will there be a tight end going in the first couple rounds next year?
Probably not.
Definitely
probably
not Kelsey.
First couple rounds, yes.
First round, no. Two rounds. Will there be someone taken back by the end of the second round? And who will it be?
I'm not taking Kelsey. I'm not taking that price.
Kelsey or Laporta.
Kelsey will either continue to decline next year or bounce back and we'll wish we took him in the second round or first round.
Yeah.
We'll let K-Harp take him.
But Laporta, best value pick for sure. Let's do best waiver scoop. We did not make predictions for this, obviously. This happened throughout the season, but we do have honorable mentions and the overall winner. T-God starts off. Who is your honorable mention?
My honorable mention is Sam Howell. He did let a bunch of people down, I'm sure, that 1 week where he got benched. That was – I don't even understand what happened that game.
Twice in a row he got benched.
Yeah.
Like, why, though? It doesn't matter.
Brissett cleared when he came in.
I know.
I know he did.
But how's him?
Sam Howell, he finished QB 11 on the season. He had about 3,800 passing yards with 20 touchdowns. He had 264 rushing yards with 5 rushing touchdowns, which is a little bit surprising. I didn't know he had 5 rushing touchdowns.
Me either.
But he finished QB 11, and he was only 25 points away from the QB 7, which is Patrick Mahomes. So maybe if he didn't get benched that game and then like did a little bit better in another game or something, he could have been right there.
The Howell ride was fun this year.
It feels like ages ago. There was that Thursday night game. He went at negative points going into halftime and finished with 39. That's when the Wolfpack
is a dog. That's when the Wolfpack was born.
Yeah, Sam Howell, insane season overall. Great honorable mention there for best waiver scoop. Matt, what do we got?
I'm going to go honorable mention, Jerome Ford. Obviously, nobody would have predicted Nick Chubb getting hurt so early on in the season with such a brutal injury. But yep. Jerome Ford stepped in his place, ended up finishing RB14. So second half of the season, he was absolutely rock solid. After the bye, he had 3 games in single digits, but never really less than 11, which what more can you ask for from a backup running back that you probably scooped off waivers anyway? So deserves an honorable mention there.
For sure. And
went off last week.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, sir. Q, honorable mention.
Of course. Puka Nacua. Luckily, I got to experience the Puka ride. I spent $29 on him after week one. I bought into the 15 targets he had. And then week two, we were in AC. Cooper was out. I was forced to start Puka. I said, fuck. And he went dummy again with 20 targets and 15 catches and continued that throughout the rest of the season, even when Cooper Kupp returned. He's now the number one wide receiver on the Rams.
Spicy.
If the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl, it's going to be Puka versus Joe Flacco. That's what I'm hoping the bowl ends up being. But he will be another guy that I don't know where he'll be drafted next year, but it's going to be high, and I think he will be worth the reach for sure.
It'll be within the first 4 rounds, I think.
Will he be drafted over Cooper Kupp?
I don't think so.
No.
There's the age. There's the injury history.
No, Puka's.
It's possible. Yeah.
There's a chance. My honorable mention is Rashi Rice. He may have been scooped in like the last round or two of your drafts, but in his ADP, he was outside the top 200. So he ended up fitting this criteria. I'm sure a lot of people ended up picking him up off of waivers. And even after the first couple of weeks, wouldn't be shocked if he was dropped and then picked up later, because first couple of weeks, he played less than 50% of the snaps in 5 of the first 6 games. Still managed to finish as wide receiver 21, 79 catches, 938 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Pretty much established himself as Patrick Mahomes' number one option. Rashi Rice has to be my honorable mention here for best waiver scoop.
Until next
year. He's their number one until they get T. Yeah.
Yep.
They could get Evans. Yeah, they'll probably get somebody because that wide receiver core is dog water outside of Rice.
They couldn't get rid of him fast.
He's going to China.
They should literally get rid of him before the playoffs. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Just cut him now. He's going to cost them in the playoffs like he has 2 other games. But
there's that video of him in the locker room. They asked him who his favorite player was. He said, Mahomes.
He's crazy. All right. T-Gods, overall winner for best waiver scoop.
The overall winner, Kyren Williams, the RB5 on the season.
Yes, sir.
We know all the stats already. We know what he did.
Him.
He's the clear winner.
Bananas.
Projected. Yeah. He was going as the RB71.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Saint. The dude had 1,100 rushing yards and he only played 12 games. Like, just
Wild.
Basically averaged 100 yards a game. And that was also a good receiver. Yeah. Kyren, Himothy, definitely the best waiver scoop. Him and Puka.
Is he going first round next year?
He might be. He's pushing there with all the freaking shit he's doing. If he continues it through the playoffs, too.
Eckler's shitty ass.
Yeah, running backs are kind of scarce. So
it's going to be wide receiver heavy first round next year.
Mm-hmm.
Again. Feels like it's pushing that way in general. All right, moving on to fantasy performance of the year. We did try to do predictions for this. Obviously, pretty hard to predict the best game or record-breaking stats. But we did throw out some predictions, so we will see how close we got with those and honorable mentions. Let's go back to you, T-God, start us off.
I wasn't too far off. I did pretty good, I think. I said Tyreek Hill becomes the 7th player in NFL history to go for 300 receiving yards in a single game. And he almost did it right off the bat, week one. That'd he had 215 receiving yards. He had 2 touchdowns. 44.5 fantasy points. That kind of just set the tone for the season. Yeah, he almost did it. 75 yards away.
Damn.
Yeah. And didn't they blow the Chargers out in that game, too?
Probably. Like the Chargers sucked bad.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. No, actually, I think it was a little bit close, but whatever. Tyreek, insane performance. Great prediction there. Matt, unfortunate prediction here.
Unfortunate. My prediction was Nick Chubb breaks Adrian Peterson's record of 296 yards in a single game. Sadly, instead, he broke his leg. So my honorable mention has to go to the GOAT, Christian McCaffrey. Week four, he went off for 48.7 points against the Cardinals, who the Eagles couldn't do anything against. But he had 106 rushing yards, three rushing touchdowns, seven catches for another 71 receiving yards, and added a receiving touchdown. So anytime a player scores more than two touchdowns, they're most likely entering banana land. So Christian McCaffrey got that quite a bit this year, but week four was immaculate.
That's an award for next year. We need to give out the Banana Land Award.
Oh yeah,
I guess that's what we can call this one.
Pretty much is Banana Land Award.
That's what we'll call it next year or this year.
That that Dolphins Chargers game was 36-34.
Yeah, I just looked that up. I said it was close.
Ended up being close. Yeah, but Tyreek only played 66% of the snaps, so I guess he was taking some breaks. Q, what do you got?
Thanks, Aiden O'Connell. My prediction was Davante Adams' return to, was it in Green Bay? I don't know. But it was against the Packers. I predicted a 4-touchdown game. He, in fact, had 0 touchdowns and 8.5 fantasy points. I did see something where, so like obviously there's rumors of him being traded to the Jets next year. And there's like, the Bears or Packers, whoever wins that game, there's a chance that the Jets can go to Lambeau next year. So it would be Aaron Rodgers and Addy back in Green Bay on the Jets. That would be crazy. And I'll give the same prediction then if that happens.
That would be insane.
My honorable mention, of course, is Amari Cooper's Banana Land game where he scored 53 fantasy points in this, what I'm looking at. 11 for 265 and 2 with Joe Flacco at the quarterback position. He went off and he was super consistent no matter who it was. But yeah, this game was bonkers. Very unexpected.
Chip that game. Fuck him.
Only
Matt was playing in the chip.
Matt. Round two. Round two with that performance. Insane from Amari Cooper there. I will go. Garrett Wilson was my prediction. I predicted him to be the fourth player in NFL history to get 5 receiving touchdowns in a single game. I don't know why I didn't go with like receptions or something, but he never had more than 1 touchdown and only finished with 3 touchdowns on the entire season. So,
Come on, don't laugh at him.
Nowhere near close. I was buying into the Aaron Rodgers hype, got nowhere close there. But my honorable mention has to be DJ Moore in week 5.
Shut up, this guy.
49 fantasy
Players award.
8 catches on 10 targets, 230 yards and 3 touchdowns. Was a pretty insane, I think it was a Thursday night game. He went crazy. Obviously an awesome performance there. Thought that might have been the overall winner, but forgot about Ja'Marr Chase in the same week. Had to outdo him with 52.2 fantasy points of his own. 15 catches on 19 targets for 192 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase definitely deserves this award for best fantasy performance this
season. I don't remember this game.
He went bonkers.
It was the game where, like, after the first 3 weeks, Joe Burrow sucked, and then everyone's like, all right, Joe Burrow's back. And Ja'Marr went insane. Nuts game. But yeah, Ja'Marr, overall winner for Mr. Banana Land this season. Most improved player. We did make some predictions, so let's start here with Matt. What do you got?
My most improved looked good for the first, first half
one
of the
quarter.
Season. It was Brian Robinson. He finished RB3 in 2022. He did make a big jump this year, finished RB21 and missed 2.5 games. So that's got to account for something.
Yeah, pretty good improvement.
Yeah, my honorable mention, like RB8 for my guy. He was RB4 for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's
somehow.
Yeah, but, and then he got hurt and missed a couple games. And
all went downhill. Honorable mention has to go to my guy, Isaiah Pacheco. Finished RB37 last year, finished RB13 this year. I was saying all preseason, just give him the opportunity, give him the volume. He'll make plays like he did all year this year. So he made a big jump. I was happy to see it. Love
runs
him.
Like a cartoon.
Hell yeah.
He just runs angry. You wouldn't want to tackle him, Q.
Nope.
His run is so funny.
Stomping on the ground.
Yeah, Isaiah Pacheco, obviously great season there. T-Gots, who was your prediction and honorable mention?
My prediction was Alexander Mattison, and boy, was that a bad one. he was RB 51 last year, RB 36 this year. He missed a game, but that doesn't really matter. He was useless in both seasons. My honorable mention is Nico Collins. He finished as the wide receiver 77 last year, and this year he finished as wide receiver 18. I mean, most of that was CJ Stroud's doing. Nico didn't really do anything special. He had some crazy boom games. He had some like poopy games. He was just average. He just was averagely like good. He was like OG vintage Mike Will or like vintage Lockett.
I was gonna say Lockett.
Yeah, very solid. Finished in the teens, but yeah. Like, I don't know. He'll win you a couple games. He'll lose you a couple games, but he's solid.
Yeah, Nico Collins, great improvement there. I was not a believer, but I am now a believer in Nico Collins. I will go real quick. Rondale Moore was my prediction. He was wide receiver 82 in 2022, and he improved all the way up to wide receiver 66. So I think it's official that he is simply just mid. He's a gadget player. He will never be super fantasy relevant. So
Greg Dortch better.
Super Greg Dortch clears.
Yeah, he clears.
But my honorable mention has to be Trey McBride. I know we've talked about him a ton, so I'm not going to go too in depth here, but he was kind of buried behind Zach Ertz last year as a rookie, finished tight end 41, maybe showed a couple flashes here and there of what he could be. But this season obviously popped off. Zach Ertz ended up getting injured again, but Trey McBride really took the job and never looked back. Finished tight end 8, and pretty much from week 6 on, he arguably was a top 3 tight end, if not almost pushing up there with Laporta. So Trey McBride, insane season, insane improvement, and obviously will be a high draft pick next year.
McBride,
great season. Q, prediction, honorable mention, and then give us the overall most improved player.
My prediction was Courtland Sutton, who disappointed heavily last year. This year, finished wide receiver 33. I think he was leading the league in touchdowns, in receiving touchdowns before he got injured. Still an improvement for him. I don't know who his quarterback will be next year, so most likely go back to what he was last year. But honorable mention is James Cook. He could have finished probably a top 10 running back, top 5 running back, if he was the way he was the last 5 weeks, the entire season. But prove that he can be an RB1. And as long as they stop using, as if they're going to continue to use Josh Allen the way they are next year, James Cook can definitely finish top 12 again.
Yeah, James Cook.
James Cook looking like Dalvin Cook.
Yeah,
vintage. Reverse roles. Dalvin Cook's like James Cook last year now. But the overall winner for most improved player has to be running back Rashad White. Last year was wide receiver, running back 36. Mainly because he was behind Fournette, but did show some flashes this year. Finished running back 6, a full year with the position for himself. Chase Edmonds wasn't much of a threat. But again, next year I would draft him as a top 6 running back option. If we're gonna talk about Kyren Williams as a top whatever top round pick, yeah, then Rashad White Chad definitely should be up there.
Monster.
Oh yeah,
monster.
They need to bring Baker back because he's only on a 1-year deal. So they need to bring him back, bring the same team back. Maybe not Mike Evans, but he'll be solid.
Yes, sir. Rashad White, great season. All right, second-year breakout. I feel like the winner for most improved and second-year breakout could probably go hand-in-hand here. They're all going to be kind of the same players. But let's go through it anyways. Predictions and honorable mentions. T-Gods, start us off.
Oh, boy. My prediction was Christian Watson.
See what?
Yeah. My God. He missed half the season. He finished receiver 61. He just, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. It just wasn't
couple
meant to
booms.
Be. Third-year breakout for sure, though.
Couple booms.
You picked Jalen Reed.
Jaden Reed, know, maybe.
Right? That's what his name is.
He's any bowl. Like, who? Where did
he's
he
a rookie, though. Not a second-year breakout.
Anyway, honorable mention, if Matt wants to go a little more in depth, he can. Spoiling. But, I mean, we talked about him a little bit. Isaiah Pacheco, he's just crazy. I just like aside from fantasy, like I just love watching him play. Like he just mm-hmm. he runs scary, man.
Yeah. Quietly a good receiver too. Quietly.
Mm-hmm. Quietly.
Yep. Matt, right to you. Let's continue with the Pacheco love.
Yep. That was my prediction this year. I saw it coming. The Chiefs just had to give him the work. They did. Finished RB13 and missed two games. I feel like there were times where I really wasn't even seeing Pacheco doing well, but he would finish a game with like a touchdown or two and mad yards. But I hope he continues to do this. The Chiefs finally found a way to use him and use him effectively, which I love to see. So hopefully he improves even more next year.
Yeah, definitely hope to see that. Great prediction there. My prediction, not so great. Jahan Dotson. Wide receiver 51 in 2022, only played 12 games. Wide receiver 54 this season and played 16. So obviously a lot worse. Maybe had one or two good games this season where he kind of popped off. But even with Sam Howell having a great season, Jahan Dotson was not in the plans. Struggled quite a bit here and there. But not a great prediction. But my honorable mention has to go to Jerome Ford. Obviously was buried behind Nick Chubb on the depth chart last year. Finished RB 146. I don't think he even played anything until like the last game of the season, had like one fantasy point. And then this year, RB 14. So honestly, a huge breakout, kind of came out of nowhere. Obviously got the benefit of getting the snaps once Chubb went down, but still definitely a breakout season for Jerome Ford. And I think he will have some relevancy in that backfield moving forward.
Yeah.
Q, give us your prediction and also overall winner for this award.
Prediction, just talked about him, James Cook. Last year was RB 44. This year, RB 11. Is this the winner? They were updating something.
Yeah, bro.
And the winner is James Cook. Finishing wide running back 11 on his second year. Yeah. Go, James.
Yeah. Just talked a bunch about him. James Cook. Great season. Pretty much could flip-flop him and Rashad White for either most improved player or second year breakout. So, him, those two, and Pacheco kind of wrap up both of those awards there. So gotta love them. But let's get a little negative here. Overhyped player, someone we thought was being drafted too high and thought they were going to finish worse. So we'll go through our predictions and then just give our overall winner. We don't need to do an honorable mention for someone that's overhyped. So, T-Gots, who was your prediction for this?
My prediction was a bad one. It was Deebo Samuel. He was going as the wide receiver 17. He finished as the wide receiver 14 while missing three games. But my reason wasn't that bad. He only finished inside the top 30 once before this year. Like, I still think he's overhyped, man. I'm not a fan.
I agree.
Do you really?
Ayuk clears.
Hell yeah.
Ayuk, better receiver. Deebo obviously can do both with the running game. Helps fantasy-wise. But yes, I would agree. In terms of receiver, that makes sense.
All right. I thought that was a little hot. I guess not.
In terms of receiver.
I had to make sure it was clear. Yeah. Not the best. Matt, I think we liked your prediction. I was definitely on board at the time.
This guy is overhyped every single year. Hopefully it changes next year, but I doubt it. That has to be Kyle Pitts. Was going against the tight end 6, finished tight end 14. Surprise, surprise. The one thing he did improve on was his touchdowns. His first year he had 1, second year he had 2, third year he had 3.
Oh, shit.
So next year you can bank on 4 touchdowns.
Can't wait till his 12th season.
Right. But, he just – for some reason isn't involved in this offense as much as he should be and didn't really come to life until like towards the end of the year. I'm all out on Kyle Pitts. I was before, but even more so now.
Yeah, definitely agree there. Q, who was your prediction?
The winner for overhyped player is DJ Moore. Who was saved
winner.
By a Thursday night football game.
Winner.
That, who knows what he would be. Probably below Terry McLaurin.
Stop, please. Please stop.
But DJ Moore.
DJ Moore was your prediction. Finish by receiver 8. Put some respect on my boy.
He's sharing the award with the other winner.
Yeah, you wish. Not overhyped. He's him. My overhyped prediction went really well. Cam Akers going RB 23. I consistently said throughout the preseason that why the hell is Cam Akers still getting drafted? He's never really put this up, put up numbers like that, and then finished RB 65, did miss half the season, but also got traded, never had 10 plus points in any game when he was active. So no reason why I thought Cam Akers should be that high. But T-Gods, give us the overall winner for overhyped player. You talked about it all season.
The winner makes me so happy, man. I hate him. The winner is Miles Sanders, going as the RB 19 and finishing as the RB 51. He had two games over 9.1 points, and they were in weeks one and weeks three. He had one touchdown on the season. And let me just read you some stats from some of the games. This game he had zero fantasy. He had zero fantasy points. He had two carries for 0 yards. Here's this game. He had two carries for -5 yards.
Great.
Here's the game. He had 6 carries for 2 yards. 3 carries for 3 yards. He was trying. All right.
He was consistently bad.
This one's good too. 13 carries for 19 yards. He's pretty good, man.
I could get more than that.
He's real good.
That is absurd. Yeah, Miles Sanders, way overhyped. I bought into the volume aspect of it and barely even got that. Outperformed by Chuba Hubbard. Pretty piss poor.
The team does stink too, but he didn't really help shit.
Yeah, he didn't help at all.
All right, the Jets Bryce Young didn't help either.
I know. Well, he stinks. Yeah. He does stink on top of the stinky team.
All right. I just wanted to hear you say it.
Stink combined. All right, bold stat takes, kind of the same thing as Banana Land, but this was more for season long. So, T-Gods, what was your prediction here? We're just going to go through our predictions because don't really need to give an award for bold stat takes, but just want to see how we did.
My prediction was Joe Burrow throws for 50 touchdowns.
God dang.
Yeah, he threw for 15. So there's that.
You're close.
He did get injured, but it didn't matter, man. He looked real bad all year anyway.
Yeah, definitely a tough one there. Matt, yours wasn't awful.
It wasn't. If JJ was healthy this season, all season, he would have finished with 2,000 receiving yards. And I'm doubling back on this prediction next year because it's going to happen.
Hell yeah.
You better have Kirk.
Recency bias, don't forget that JJ is still the best receiver in this league.
Yeah. All right. Agree. 882 yards in 9 games, still very solid. And even with some of those being limited. Cube, what was your prediction for bold stat take?
Bold stat take, Jalen Hurts breaks the passing record and rushing touchdown record for QB in a season. He did break the rushing touchdown record in a season, so half right. 38 total touchdowns. I don't think, unless he drops like, what's the record? Like 50, right? 55?
55.
Yeah.
Like 18 touchdowns.
That's possible. He would win MVP for sure.
18 touch pushes.
Oh my god. No, he needs passing touchdowns. Oh no, he needs total.
Yeah. I don't know what the total was. I don't know if Peyton Manning ran for any that season.
No way. That dude was like 50. He was 55.
Maybe
when
one QB sneak. I do remember a clip on him, the Broncos running one in. He looked like he was running in slow motion. But I don't know if it was that season.
Underwater.
My prediction was Dallas Goedert, who never finished with more than 5 touchdowns in a season, caught 12. Never predicting that again. He finished with 3. So.
Oh my God.
He's hurt. Broken arm.
Not Mr. Touchdown. He did get hurt, but still does not get more than 5. It's impossible. Dallas Goedert to catch more than 5 touchdowns challenge. Impossible.
Impossible.
Julio might have more than him and from one game.
He truly might. Injuries ruined his season award. Obviously, a lot of guys got hurt this year, so could give this pretty much half the league, but do a couple honorable mentions and then give our overall winner. Matt, let's start with you. Honorable mention.
Honorable mention, my boy, Kirk Cousins. I wish he was healthy all year. JJ would never got hurt. But, yeah, through the first few weeks of the season, he was like quarterback one, was probably a top 5 quarterback before he got hurt.
Sean's hurt.
Definitely could have finished top 5 if he played throughout the whole season. So it's a shame to see him get hurt, but Joe Flacco stepped in his place, and now they both share a spot in my heart.
Yes, sir. Q. Let's go to you. Honorable mention. Stick with the same team.
So I'm gonna say, same team. Justin Jefferson. He did come back, but obviously, probably he could have finished quarterback, wide receiver one if he played the entire season with or without Kirk. Because we saw when he came back, there were some flashes of his greatness. So next year he'll be back. So yeah, recency bias again. Don't forget. I wouldn't say he's the best receiver, but number two.
Behind.
Addy.
Stop.
Give Still? Addy Kirk Cousins. Look what he did last week. Doesn't even matter. With TikTok. Well, don't make me pull his picture up.
Please.
All right. D-Gods, who was your honorable mention here?
My honorable mention is Aaron Rodgers on behalf of Garrett Wilson. So my honorable mention is Garrett Wilson, but it was Aaron Rodgers' doing. It was his injury that ruined Garrett Wilson's season. He still finished wide receiver 23, but like Sean had a crazy prediction for him, and like I think we were all a little bit high on Garrett Wilson, and he could have finished like top 10, like with
easily
wide receiver 23 with Zach Wilson and
Tim Boyle.
Send me in. I mean, like, come on,
dog water quarterback room. Dog water.
He needed Flacco.
They did. Honestly, they Literally had him. They should have kept Flacco. Him. And Garrett Wilson munched when they had Flacco in his rookie season for like a couple games.
Oh my god.
He was fed.
Damn you, Aaron Rodgers.
Flacco came back and bit them in the ass when he cooked
the ass. Yep. Deserved it. All right. My honorable mention is Tank Dell. Finished wide receiver 38, but did miss about like six games or so. Got injured early on in the season, was able to come back right after the bye, put up some huge numbers, started to show his potential, and then got hurt again on a deep ball. Unfortunate injury. He did average 18.6 points per game when he played at least 60% of the snaps. So he was pretty much going to banana land pretty frequently when he was healthy. But unfortunate that he got injured. Wish Tank Dell could have finished the season, because I would have loved to see what CJ Stroud could have done, and also just the Texans in general would have been huge for them.
Yep.
But Q, overall winner, who got their season ruined by injuries the worst?
Of course, even I don't know. Was it earlier than Chubb or earlier than Aaron Rodgers, or was it the same night?
It was the week after.
Nick Chubb, unfortunately, wins this award. It's not really a win, but yeah, he'll be back next year. And I don't know how high he'll be drafted, but if they have Joe Flacco, he'll be top 10.
Chubb, unfortunate injury, but definitely think he should come back strong. Obviously was the pinnacle of consistency before that injury. So tough one there. Let's do the player we talked about the most on this podcast. So if you watched a ton, you know we yapped about the same players every week, whether they were going good or bad to calm or chaos or trust or bust. They would flip-flop every week. So, T-God, start us off with your honorable mention.
Oh, all right, this one's a little bit of a long one. It's T. Higgins, and it's just the way that the season went. All right, so week one, 8 targets, 0 catches. We're like, oh my god, like what's happening? Week two, 28.9 points. All right, he's back. Week three, 4.1 points. And we're like, oh, he's kind of ass. Like, I don't know. The big game might have been a fluke. Week four, he gets injured. He played in weeks 5 and week 6, and he had 4 points in those games. He had a bye week
chaos for sure, both of those.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Injured in week 4. Oh, injured week 4 into week 5. Okay, so he missed week 5. Then in week 6 he played, he had 4 points. Then he had a bye week in week 7. Came back from the bye and did solid in weeks 8 and 9. Then he missed the weeks 10, 11, and 12. 13 and 14 were his first games with Jake Browning. So we're like, oh my god, like, can he do it with Jake Browning? Is Jake Browning good? Who knows? He had 6 and 9 in those games. And then the playoffs started. And can you trust him in the playoffs? Can you trust him with Jake Browning? Who knows? And then it came down to, can we start him in the chip? And he had 2.9. It was up and down all over the place this year. I lost myself a little bit in just describing that. But Yeah, he was
T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Definitely yapped about him a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. He was a recurring guest for sure.
It was all of my receivers.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah, Matt, oh this God, one also pretty much the same kind of roller coaster. Go ahead, Matt.
Honorable mention, Gabe Davis. He is the star of Trust or Bust. Most weeks he is the bust, though. He will go 3 weeks with like a combined 8 points, and then all of a sudden he is 22, and Sean loves throwing him on the dock. So we are all forced to talk about him, unfortunately. But I feel like he was mentioned at least a handful of times every week.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every week he had to have been mentioned. Even for like the first 5 weeks, it was like, is he legit? Is he actually like breaking out? Yeah. And then hit you with 3-1 in back-to-back weeks. Just showed you that he's still Gabe Davis. yeah, Mr. Inconsistent. My honorable mention has to be Kyle Pitts. I mean, I feel like every week, whether I put him on the dock or whether he just got brought up by the chat, somebody was asking about Kyle Pitts. Do I start him? And the answer was always no. I pretty much put him on my start sit list as my sit probably 5 times just to remind people to not start Kyle Pitts. Maybe one of those weeks I was wrong. Maybe he got 14, but that was his peak all season. Kyle Pitts, talked about him every week. So sick of him. Hopefully he either breaks out or just continues being bad and no one cares about him anymore. One or the other, please pick one because I'm sick of it. Q, honorable mention.
Honorable mention, I might be a dark throw, but Dak, I feel like just because he started off stinky and then he really turned up towards the end of the season. So he was always on trust or bust or calm or chaos. So
yeah.
Dak
flip-flopped a ton. So yeah, Dak was definitely talked about a lot, but T-Gods, hit us with the overall winner, Matt's favorite wide receiver.
At one point, he was also my favorite wide receiver.
Bought his jersey for no reason.
Me as well. Calvin Ridley. He was bad. He was good for a little bit. He was real bad. He was real good for maybe one game. He was real bad again. Trust or bust, calm or chaos. You name it, he was on it. And 90% of the time, it wasn't for a good reason.
Wasn't good.
Yeah,
I hate that whenever we do this award, I immediately always just want to put Jarves first because that's probably the first winner we had.
Oh yeah.
I think he was I think he might have even won last year even when he was ass.
God, he played last year.
Yeah. And then he was not signed this offseason, unfortunately. Someone needs to pick up my boy for a playoff run. Throw him in the slot. He'll get you some receptions. Might have been better than Calvin Ridley. No, I'm just kidding. All right, moving on to the final three awards. Fantasy Rookie of the Year, Least Valuable Player, and Most Valuable Player. Rookie of the Year, you got to start us off here. Who was your prediction?
My prediction was Tank Dell. He finished as the wide receiver 38, but he had, well, Sean talked about it earlier, 19 points per game. With 50% of the snaps this season, good enough for wide receiver 6 on a points per game basis. So played all year. Probably be around top 10. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Yeah. Could have been fantasy rookie of the year. Could have been. Matt, who was your prediction here?
My prediction was Zay Flowers ended up finishing wide receiver 25. He was up and down this year, but for the most part, he was pretty solid. I mean, wide receiver 25 on a Ravens offense isn't bad, so I give him props for that. Really started turning it on at the end of the season from weeks. Well, his last 5 games, 4 of those, he had 20-plus points in, so him and Lamar seem to be connecting towards the end of the season. Hopefully, that rolls over into next year, and he just build on that chemistry.
Yeah, Zay Flowers, rock-solid rookie season. Great prediction there. Q, another great prediction here.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
The best running back in this rookie class. Fuck Bijan. Finished running back 8 and missed 2 games. Where's Bijan at? Why running back 14, 15?
He lost me a playoff matchup.
Yeah. Gibbs, I think that same week, had the 2 touchdowns.
Jeez.
There's levels, yeah. Bijan.
I hate his hair, his dread mullet.
Damn hater. All right, so I didn't put honorable mention here because all three of your guys' predictions were good. So I'm going to pretend I said CJ Stroud. No, I'm just kidding. My prediction was Bryce Young. Yeah, Bryce Young obviously was pretty bad prediction. Should have just went with CJ Stroud because he will be my honorable mention. Finished QB 13. Definitely the best rookie of the class here. Maybe Anthony Richardson could have beat him out, but obviously got hurt super early on. So didn't ever get to see if that could happen. Stroud missed two games, QB 13. If he didn't miss those games, probably pushing top eight quarterbacks there for sure. Had some great performances, only threw five interceptions all season, and three of them were in one weird game against the Cardinals. So CJ Stroud was pretty much very rock solid. So definitely my honorable mention, but Q, come on, we know who's coming here. Rookie of the year.
Come on. You should have many awards. Puka Nacua. Whoa. Finishing top five next year. Cooper Kupp, the Fluka.
Puka's wide receiver five right now, man. He's
Puka Nacua.
Marcus Robinson over Cooper Kupp.
Stop that.
Wow. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers in December.
Look at the numbers.
That's blind.
All right. Fantasy least valuable player. Gave us an honorable mention for this one to let off some steam. T-Gods, start us off. Who was your prediction and honorable mention?
Boy, was I wrong. my least valuable player was Breece Hall. He finished as the RB4.
Feels like my Jamar Chase prediction last year.
Yeah, it was pretty bad all around. But I'm just going to go to the other running back that was on this team, Dalvin Cook. He was being drafted as the RB27. He finished as the RB69. I don't even know what happened. He was a 1,000-yard rusher for the past 4 years. This year, 214 yards, zero touchdowns, 15 catches for 78 yards. How do you go from 1,000-yard rusher to 214 yards? I don't know. I don't know what happened to Dalvin.
He must have lost like
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers could have saved him, but yeah, he kind of just felt it coming.
Nothing was saving him.
But why though? What happened?
He sacrificed his prime for James Cook to be elite.
Oh my God, he did. He did.
He lost a step and then lost another step and fell off a cliff. So,
man,
unfortunate
for you, brother.
You thought this man was overhyped. Matt, you now thought this man was going to be the least valuable player. You guys need to stop hating on my guy.
Could have been.
Oh, he's got a lot of awards.
Could have had a lot better option, but I went DJ Moore, ended up finishing wide receiver 8. Going to leave it there. Don't want to talk about him. Although Sean did repost
don't make
his picture
Sean
on his story. That was kind of weird.
That was cringe. I almost unfollowed you.
That's my guy. All right, stop hating.
But my honorable mention has to be Mahomes. He was going like top 1 through 3 quarterback in drafts. I'm sure was the number one quarterback off boards in a lot of them. Ended up finishing quarterback 8, was it, on the season?
Yeah.
And so. For the last however many weeks, didn't even eclipse 20 points. And like T-Gods mentioned earlier, Sam Howell was only, 27 points behind him? 25
points away.
25 points. So I know we all love Sam Howell, but that's not a good spot for your quarterback to be when he was your second or third pick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Rough season for Mahomes. Did not look very Mahomes-like. Those wide receivers were ugly.
You called it. You loved to see it.
It only took 4 years.
Ecstatic to see it. All right, Q, to you.
All right. I could have went with this guy, Alexander Mattison. We already talked about how stinky he was, but I'm going to go with Mahomes' teammate. Well,
that was your prediction, so that was a good prediction.
Yeah, but, you know, I got to get a little juicy. but my honorable mention is Travis Kelce, tight end 2. That's not a real thing to follow with tight ends, at least, because actually, who was tight end 3? TJ Hockenson, who finished 0.4 points behind Travis Kelce. So, yeah, he wasn't tight end 2. And he stinks. And next year, stinks even more. I promise you.
Yep.
The number.
I agree.
Three.
He lost you the chip.
He is getting old. He is 34.
Yeah, well.
He won you the chip, Q.
Oh, yeah. He did win me the chip.
Yeah, he won you the chip.
You asshole.
Thanks, Travis.
Nowhere near the least valuable player.
I mean,
he won Q the chip because he only had like 4 points.
Beat out Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. Definitely least valuable in the playoffs. Stinky. He was definitely mid. Definitely agree with that there. My prediction was DeAndre Hopkins. I got a lot of hate from y'all when I said that. But it wasn't a great prediction. He was ADP, was wide receiver 21. He did finish wide receiver 26. So proved me wrong. He was still a decent flex option. Had some left in his gas tank, I guess. A couple of big booms. That one game with Will Levis carried his season. Was insane. But also had a few solid games throughout the season. So D-Hop, you proved me wrong. I was happy to see it. Still want to see you continue to succeed. But my honorable mention here has to be Damian Pierce. This man got a lot of hype after his rookie season. He did finish RB28, didn't start in like half of those games, and missed three games during that rookie season. So he had a great season. He did miss three games again. So you're thinking like, all right, maybe he still finished around the same spot. And then we finished RB54. This man had 82 fantasy points for the entire season. Absolutely brutal. He averaged 2.8 yards per carry. He only had 13 catches on the season. Damian Pierce, just not him. Was never him. He was definitely the least valuable player if you drafted him. You probably drafted him as your RB2 and were like, all right, I got a solid RB2. Devin Singletary is going to do nothing. And Damian Pierce gave you less than Singletary did in half a season. So least valuable player, honorable mention for me. But Matt, who was the least valuable player overall?
It was Austin Eckler, RB2 off the board, probably a top five pick in 99.9% of fantasy leagues. Ended up finishing RB25. He did miss three games, but that did not matter. After week 10, he was absolute dog water. I don't know what happened to this Chargers offense, but Mike Will went down. Herbo was banged up. Eckler fell off a cliff, and Keenan's dealing with injuries as usual. So tough year for Eckler and Eckler owners. Sean, I'm sure you could attest to that. So that's why he is the least valuable player of all of 2023.
Yeah. Usually his receptions can save you and like give you that safe lure. He had 44 catches. That was his fewest since 2018 by a lot. Not good. So coming off 107 catches, going down to 44 is pretty abysmal. Least valuable player, Austin Eckler, for where you drafted him, for sure. But let's move on to fantasy MVP. T-Gods, start us off once more.
Here we go. My prediction was Calvin Ridley. And boy, that wasn't too bad. Close. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
But like, he finished, like, somehow finished not that awful.
24?
He was being drafted like wide receiver 19.
He was. And I thought that was super low. I didn't understand why, but clearly the people knew something we didn't know. My honorable mention, though, is Tyreek Hill. He had 1,717 yards on 112 catches, and the season's not even over. He also had 12 touchdowns. He was averaging over 15 yards per catch. And, like, bro, it's just not fair. Like, when he's just out there and he's just, like, you just throw it up and he's just gone. Rampant. He's just gone. It's so like annoying.
Backyard football.
Or you throw him a screen and he's still just gone. Like, it's, like, bro. He's
too fast.
He's literally just too fast. He's, like, he's literally a cheat code. Like, he's a
cheat. Yep. Cheat code bull for sure.
I wouldn't, like, bro, I'd consider him. Consider taking him like 101 next year. I really would.
Can't hate it.
I wouldn't hate it either. My only fear would be losing a step, but he's clearly proven time and time again he's going to be quick forever.
He's not even close to slowing down. He literally has the most yards he's ever had.
I think Tua's thinking is the only fear I have. There's no problem with Tyreek.
It was fine. Tua's a good enough game manager. Yeah.
Anyone that can throw more than like 50 yards and you go out there and make Reek relevant.
Yeah,
Tyreek. Imagine if he had Mahomes.
Imagine if Reek and Mahomes were on the same team, dude. That'd be crazy.
With Kelce.
That would be crazy.
That would have been insane.
And Kareem Hunt.
And Kareem Hunt.
And Chris Conley.
And Kelce, dude.
Dude, God, insane offense. Imagine if that existed.
Would be broken.
Matt, prediction and honorable mention.
Prediction wasn't too bad. I went with TJ Hockenson, obviously tight end isn't a very, like, unless it was Travis Kelce for the past 10 years, tight ends don't really give you too much of an advantage, but Hock has become one of those guys, finished tight end 3 on the season, missed 1.5 games at the end, but overall, he was solid all throughout the year, but none more solid than my honorable mention, CeeDee Lamb. Like we said earlier, fantasy wide receiver 1 on the season, had 122 catches for 1,651 yards through 16 games, still has one more to be played. So he could easily climb over 1,800 yards the way he's playing. Also had 10 touchdowns, could add 2 more. So CeeDee Lamb, CeeDee Banana Lamb, he went to Banana Land all season this year.
Oh, yeah. I thought Q was going to take him.
What do you mean?
Honorable mention.
Yeah, I thought you were going to take CeeDee.
I thought I should have respected my other wide receiver. Who's...
All right.
Yeah, Q, go ahead.
Just as good.
Yeah. I said it was Addy. That's who I originally picked. He finished wide receiver 11, which I believe is still good for Addy, who had Aiden O'Connell.
That last week saved his ass.
Oh, yeah.
Literally saved him. He was so bad this year. Stop.
He had like 3 like massive games and then like some bad games.
Caught a touchdown from Jacoby Myers, I think.
Ew.
Or Jacoby Myers caught a touchdown from somebody. But honorable mention is Amon-Ra. Talked about him a bunch earlier. Target monster, catch monster. The definition of consistency, and should be drafted where he finishes here. Top 3, I believe.
Number 3.
Yeah, I'll take him number 3. I might take CeeDee. I would take the top 3 in the order they are. Yes. I mean, I might as well keep riding the CeeDee take. I'll take the top 3 wide receivers right now. I forgot about that. J-Jeff. All right. I'll come back.
Nice. All right. Yeah. My prediction was Justin Fields. Obviously not great. Already talked about it. Don't need to go too much into it. QB 17 was QB 8 on a points per game basis. Still nowhere near fantasy MVP. But I will shout out one quarterback for my honorable mention. Got to give Jalen Hurts some love here. Obviously, the Eagles have not been that great over the last half of the season or so. But in terms of fantasy, this guy was still QB2 on the season, broke the rushing touchdown record, missed consistency when it comes to just getting you 20 fantasy points pretty much every week, especially in those leagues where you don't have when it's 4-point passing touchdown, gives Jalen Hurts even more of a boost. Which is a lot of leagues, which I don't really love. But either way, 3,800 passing yards as well, improved on his passing numbers. The interceptions hurt a little bit more this year, a little bit more inconsistent, but overall, still QB2 in fantasy, insane season, and think there's only room to grow and improve there as well. So honorable mention for fantasy MVP there, but the fantasy MVP has to be Christian McCaffrey.
He can't keep getting away.
He really can't. Got to be straightforward here. 391.3 PPR fantasy points. Finished RB1 on the season by 121 fantasy points over every other running back in the entire NFL. Just disgusting. And to even make matters worse, 4 games this season he played, he missed like 30% of the snaps in like 4 games, including that Browns game where he missed like half the game. And then even this past week missed half the game as well in the fantasy championship. May have hurt you there, but on ESPN leagues, I think I saw 60% of leagues, teams that were in that made it to the championship had Christian McCaffrey on their roster. If you drafted CMC, you obviously got him for a lower price. He was not going 1-1 in every league, sometimes 1-2, 1-3. So if you got him at any point lower than 1-1, you got an absolute steal. Mm-hmm. CMC continues to do it, continues to be great receiver, great runner. Actually proved more of his rushing ability this season more than any. So he's him.
Average 24.5 points.
Yeah, he's him.
Quarterback crazy numbers.
He is him. Christian McCaffrey continues to dominate, and I think he will continue to do so as long as he's able to stay healthy. So yep. CMC, fantasy MVP. Yep. Did we have any trivia? I know we've kind of gone long here, so
I can hold it for next week.
Yeah, we'll hold it for next week. Next week we might go a little long too, but we'll make sure we do some trivia anyways. But that's it.
Next week.
What happened? Oh, it just happened.
Yo!
Kadarius Tony off the screen.
I think I see that when I had sleep paralysis.
Yeah, that was scary. I don't like that he's still behind the screen. Get him out of here.
Get him all over his eyeball, dude.
Look at his eye.
All right, that is it for the Fantasy Award Show. Fun episode as always. This does not mark the end of our season. One more episode next week. End of season recap and the NFL playoff preview. We did it last year. We weren't that great at predicting the playoffs, but we'll see if we can bounce back here. We were pretty good at predicting the Eagles to make it to Super Bowl, though, but obviously they didn't finish the job last year. So we'll see what we predict next week. But we will also go back through our predictions as well from beginning of the season for divisions and everything. So we will take a look at that. But we are sponsored by Fanatics. So again, if you are interested, go to that link in our bio on all platforms. Code 34SHIP going on right now. If you're still here on Twitch or YouTube, throw us a follow, throw us a subscription, whatever you got to do. Spotify, Apple Music, all social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Super Fantasy Bros. You will find us on any of those platforms. See you guys next week and great fantasy football season. Gonna miss it. Peace.